We are going along slowly in the book of Jeremiah, and it's not very happy because we're finding that it has to do with you and me. It has to do with the churches and congregations of our day. But so be it. It is the Word of God, and we want to listen carefully to what God has to say. Now, as we've gone on in Jeremiah 23 in our last couple of studies, God is in Jeremiah 23 developing this idea. Really, what are the preachers preaching? What are they preaching? Starting with verse 33. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? What is the message of the Lord? What is God teaching? What is the law of God declaring to us, is really what is being said. And thou shalt say unto them, what burden, what burden? And now, why ask that question? And the question is, are they listening truthfully and honestly to the Word of God? And so the first statement that God makes here in verse 33, I'll tell you what the burden is. I'll tell you what the law of God says. And he's talking to these local congregations, as we've seen, which are in view here in the book of Jeremiah, right in our day. And he says, this is the law of God. This is the burden. I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And that matches all the other language we find in the Bible, that finally we've come to a time when the Holy Spirit is no longer present in the churches. They've all been forsaken. And that's the most horrible thing imaginable, when God has left. And now we have a shell. We have a group of people that are so happy together. Oh, praise the Lord this, praise the Lord that. And yet God is not there. God is not there. They're just going through some forms. They're just trying to enjoy each other, thinking all is well. All is well. Why? We don't even have to worry about Christ returning, because we're ready. We're ready. We don't have any idea when he will return. He's going to come as a thief in the night, and the Bible says that that's exactly the way they're going to be thinking. He's going to come as a thief in the night, but peace and safety, all is well. And God says, no. Now listen, what is the burden? What is the real message? I'm going to crush you. I am going to forsake you, and you, because you are under the judgment of God. Now it goes on in verse 34, and this language, I'm not really certain why God wrote it quite this way. Of course, I don't know why he precisely wrote it this way, but we can go through every verse and see how, what God is teaching. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Now, this is an easy verse to understand as I read it. In other words, those who are in the churches and congregations who believe they are saved, and yet their trust is in the church, and that is proven by the fact that when God has commanded them to come out, they don't want to come out. Their trust is that their church is faithful, even though this, I comment about this again and again, and this ought to shake up anyone in the church. I know it shook me up years and years ago already. How can it be that you have these marvelous, people who look like they're marvelous men of God in the Baptist church, in the Methodist church, in the Lutheran church, in the Reformed Church, in the Presbyterian Church, name all the most conservative denominations that you want to name, and yet they all disagree on all kinds of doctrines. That is, the Methodists disagree with the Baptists, and the Baptists with the Lutherans, and the Lutherans with the Presbyterians, and so on. How can that be if they all have one source? And so you know there's something deadly wrong, something deadly wrong. And God is telling us what is wrong. They are prophesying out of their own minds in accordance with their own desires, and they're not listening to what God has to say. And so God says, what is the burden? I will even forsake you. That is the message that God wants these people to hear. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man in his house. This, as I've already indicated, is a super, super serious problem. To say, thus saith the Lord. The Bible is infallible. And I'm giving you this verse right out of the mouth of God. And it says so-and-so, and what that so-and-so is contrary to what the Bible teaches. So that we have stolen the words out of the Bible and corrected them to suit our dreams, our minds, and now we're saying that what we finally are presenting, that is authoritatively the Word of God, because God is infallible. The Word of God is infallible. And so you can see the trap that is set up. The trap that is set up. Those who listen, they say, well, it came right out of the Bible. Came right out of the Bible. And that verse is infallible. And they don't understand that in the giving of it, there has been a switch. You don't know when the switch has taken place. It's like somebody is offering you and you look at a roll of bills and you see a $100 bill on top, and he's going to offer that to you in payment for something. And then unbeknownst to you, when you finally take it, he has switched that so the $100 bill stays with him and he gives you a dollar bill. There's a switch that takes place, and this is done commonly in the trickery of mankind. But when the theologians do it, it's deadly serious. But that's what they're doing. They're switching. They're saying, this is from the Word of God. They read it from the Bible. And the listener is listening. He's reading it in the Bible. Yep. I can see. You're teaching from the Word of God. And this verse is infallible. That's fine. But then there's a switch. Because he doesn't tell you what the meaning of this word is or the meaning of that word is in a way that is faithful to the Word of God. And we end up trusting something out of that verse that we should never have trusted. And so that's why he says, I will punish that man and his house. In other words, that in his house, that is the house that he belongs to is what? The local congregation, that is the house of God that he belongs to externally, and yet there's going to be a punishment. And then he goes on in verse 35. What shall ye say, everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother? Now it's interesting how God shifts now from the priest and the prophet to everyone who claims to be a true believer. We all are to be witnesses. That is our role in this world. And what do you say to your neighbor and to your brother, your own family, and your friend, and whoever else that you're speaking about the gospel? What hath the Lord answered? In other words, we have questions. What does God say about sin? What does God say about Judgment Day? What does God say about salvation? What are the answers of the Lord? What hath God spoken? This is what we want to know as we're talking, as we're witnessing to a friend. But now God says, because you are in a whole setup where I have rejected you and I have left you. He says in verse 36, and the burden, that is the message of the Lord, shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Now, you see, in other words, God is really giving a command that will not be obeyed. Oh, this is again the law of God. He's commanding here. Stop saying that you are presenting a gospel from the Word of God. because you are perverting the words of God. Stop doing that. So what God underscored it, God emphasized that by teaching that the church age has come to an end. There's no value, there's no point for you to keep teaching and being a pastor, trying to teach your congregation. You should really stop doing that within your churches, because you are in rebellion against God and you are perverting the word of God. You are doing the old switch game. You are taking verses and making them say things that I have never said. And stop using the word of God. You know, in our Ten Commandments, we read, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord of thy God in vain. Remember that phrase? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's what they're doing. They are taking the name of the Lord their God to establish authority for what they are teaching. They are convinced in their own deceived minds that they have the truth, and that therefore they use the name of God and use the Bible as speaking of it as infallible and so on to give them additional authority, and yet they are taking the name of God in vain. And God is saying, stop doing that. If you're going to bring a message, bring a message and be honest about it. It's out of your own mind. He says, let every man, for every man's word shall be his message. In other words, this is, God is simply indicating that if you're going to teach something, well, be honest about it and indicate, this is my idea. This is my philosophy. This is where I am. Now, that's still rebellion against God, but it is getting away from this terrible, terrible sin that goes on where the Bible is used as the excuse for, I want you to believe my message because I got that right out of the Bible. Then we go on in verse 37. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? Before we get to that, I want to make another comment about verse 36. Verse 36, for ye, the last part of it, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. There is a threefold focus there. The living God, the living God, the Lord of the hosts, that is of all who are the true believers. The living God is the one who gives eternal life, who is from everlasting to future. This God is underscoring the utter seriousness of this whole matter of saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not said. You are perverting the words of eternal living God, who is the Lord of the Jehovah, who has brought into existence all those who are true believers, and who is our God if we are a true believer. And now verse 37, thus shalt thou say to that prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord, therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. In other words, God is again repeating the fact, don't declare the word of God as your authority if you are not faithful to the word of God. This is bringing enormous judgment upon you. The consequence of this is eternal in character. This is a terrible, terrible indictment. I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave to you and your fathers. That is the city externally, or it's your local congregation. And look at verse 40, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual, that is an everlasting shame. It is, there is no hope at all, which shall not be forgotten. Three times here we see everlasting reproach. Everlasting has to do with eternity. Everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual, that is again, it's an idea of everlasting shame. The shame of having been created in the image of God and having rebelled against Him. And that'll never be gone. It'll always be there. And which shall not be forgotten. One of the most blessed passages of the Bible is that when God tells us when we have truly become saved, our sins are remembered no more. They're buried in the depths of the deepest sea, or they're cast behind God's back. These are all figures that God uses to emphasize that when we become saved, we will never have to be reminded of our sins again. You know, it's very significant that God again and again emphasizes that Christ will come as a thief in the night. Remember, he uses the illustration that when the flood came, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark and the waters came. Right up until the end, even though they saw these strange things happening there, all these animals getting on the ark, and then suddenly that door mysteriously shuts because God shut the door. And at that moment, mercy had come to an end. This is what the Bible teaches. It is a terrible, terrible message for the unsaved. Well, we've come to the end of chapter 23, and in our next study, we're going to start with chapter 24 and talk about the two baskets of figs.